Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the book of Colossians? Colossians, the second chapter. We are now down to the 18th verse in our study of this great book, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffing up by the fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And the Lord blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take now your word, that you would instruct us, that you would guide us, that you would change us in this time. Father, protect us from those that would seek to steal our very faith, from those, Father, that would try to lure us into things that are not of God. Guide this time in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Colossians sets before us very clearly that Jesus is the one you need. In this room, we have a lot of different needs just wrapped up, and you're not sharing those things. You're keeping them in your heart, and yet it's a very real need. I want you to know today that Jesus is the one you need. He is the one that can meet you where you are. He is the one that can lift you from whatever depths you find yourself in. He is the one that is able. He is able in every way. He is enough for your life. He is enough for your family. He is enough for your church. And let me tell you, he is enough for our nation. Jesus is the only one and the only way that you would ever get close to God. And he is the only one that can usher you into his heaven. Now, Paul tells us in chapter 1, Jesus is all sufficient. And as we move into chapter 2, he's telling us not that Jesus is all sufficient. He's telling us there are cults out there, there are false teachers out there that are going to try to lure us away from our Lord. He takes on all the substitutes in chapter 2, the substitutes people put in place of Jesus. And he tells us that all these ways, all these substitutes, anything you put in Jesus' place is destined to fail. In Colossians 2, 18 and 19, he tells us of a maze of maternalism, of mysteriousness, a maze of confusion, a maze that will trap your life and pull you away from God himself. You know, mazes have become fairly popular in recent years. Mazes, you can go to England and you can find a lot of mazes. They're part of the garden and they are set. They've been set for hundreds of years. But in the United States, mazes are fairly new. A strange place for mazes to pop up is on a farm. And some farmers, so desperate to find a way to make some extra money, have found that they can cut mazes into their corn crops and then sell tickets for people to go through those mazes. Now, they have an advantage over the English because the English mazes are set. The farmer can actually change his maze every year. They have an intricate way through computers and GPS to guide their tractors to set in elaborate mazes that helps fund their next year's crop. One farmer in Illinois has 400 acres where he has 9 miles of mazes cut into his corn crop. Talk about being lost in the corn. people try to make their way through, they hit roadblocks, and then they had to back up, retrace their steps, try to find their way down a different path. And then they have searchers that go through and find the people that are stuck in there for too long. Today, we have mazes. People trying to make their way through the things people are telling them about God that just aren't so. When you study what the Bible has to say about cults, when you get into what the Bible actually teaches, and then you look at the growth of cults in America, you're going to find yourself in a maze. And it's difficult to pin down exactly what these people actually believe. Cults are hard to understand. They have hidden meanings. In the New Testament, there was a variety of cults, a variety of false teachers, and they would try to lure people away from the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to underline this fact. Jesus is the one that's all sufficient. Anybody else they put up is not all sufficient. Any other thing they put up is not all sufficient. The moment anyone says Jesus and, like you've got to have Jesus and someone or something else, they've gone too far. The moment they say, oh, you have Jesus, but, and then they try to add to or take away from the Jesus you have, they have left truth and they've moved into error. Cults try to substitute for Jesus, and there are people today to try to get you to look to other things except Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter 2, there are four elements of cults that we've been dealing with. There's intellectualism. That's you reach God by your own mind. Well, my mind just can't get that far. There's ritualism. You reach God through ceremony and doing particular things. Mysticism is what we're dealing with today. And then legalism we'll deal with next week, Lord willing, which is trying to reach God through rules and duties. Mysticism is the attempt to achieve a higher spiritual level based on facts that come from something else than God's Word. Mysticism traps a lot of people, and it is all around us. In Colossae, there came false teachers that said, you got Jesus, well, it's good that you got Jesus, that's great, but you need something else. You've got to go deeper. Beware of people that are trying to get you to go deeper. Everybody wants you to have a deeper spiritual. Oh, you got to be deeper. You know, my history of people going deeper is they start digging, and they start digging deeper and deeper and deeper. Before long, I see them in a grave, and you just need to cover them up. You know how deep you need to go to get Jesus? Deep enough to say yes. Deep enough to know who he is. When you get Jesus, Jesus will lead you in a life that he wants you to live. And listen, you're trying to get deeper than Jesus, you're digging a dry well. There is nothing deeper than Jesus. He is the one we need to focus our lives upon. In Colossae, their false teachers were known as Gnostics. Now, we don't talk a lot about Gnostics. We might sometimes talk about agnostics. You know, an agnostic is someone that says, I don't know. They may say, well, if there is a God, I don't know him. There may be a God, but I just don't know. The word agnostic in Latin is the word ignoramus. They just don't know. A Gnostic is the opposite of an agnostic. A Gnostic says, oh, I know. Oh, I know it all. I know stuff you don't know. In fact, I've been through experiences, oh, big experiences, that you've never had and you may never have, so I know. You ever been around somebody that just kind of knows it all? Yeah, probably around Thanksgiving you see those people. They just know. Well, the Gnostic would say, I'm one of the few that knows. I've been through a deeper experience, and so I know things. It's happened to me, so I know. But what they know is not based on God. It's not based on God's word. It's not based on what God has given us. It comes from somewhere else. They want to help people get to where they are. So they want to help you get to a higher consciousness. They want to help you get to a higher level. They would help people reach a more deeper experience with God. Old Gnosticism shows up today in something called the New Age movement. Now, New Age movement's been around long enough to be old, but it's called still the New Age movement. The New Age movement is a maze. It's difficult to define. The New Age movement is tied to old age. It's tied to Hinduism, and that goes pretty old. It's tied to Buddhism. One of the tenets you find out in the New Age world is pantheism. That means a lot of gods. And basically the concept is God is here, God is there, God is everywhere, God is in everything, God is in the air, God is in the building, God is in the trees, God is in the river, God is in the water, God is just in everything. And here's a God, there's a God, everywhere is a God, God. Well, the Gnostics taught that through a series of spiritual experiences, you could get closer and closer and closer to the Spirit of God until the day you just become God. We have people that are teaching that today. If you follow Mormonism into the deep realms of Mormonism, the concept is one day you can become your own God. You can have your own little planet. You just go higher and higher into this spiritualism until you arrive. The New Age movement teaches everybody's okay. Whatever anybody does is okay. It's not only that you're okay being you, you're okay with whatever you do. Now, many of you are in business and you've gone through lectures regarding the New Age movement. Ever been through a tolerance lecture? And the tolerance lectures that say we need to treat people with dignity, I'm all for that. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. We need to treat people with dignity, with courtesy. Hey, I want these people to come to church. And I want them to be welcome in the church. But when you go to the fact that I not only have to accept the person, I have to accept the person's lifestyle, no matter how deviant it may be, it's gone too far. Now, will I belittle someone because of their lifestyle? I will seek not to do that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I will seek not to do that. You know, I'm a boy from the South. Sometimes stuff just comes out. So I seek to accept people wherever they come from and whoever they are and whatever they're doing. But I can't accept whatever they're doing. There are lines God draws, and you just have to stay on the lines that God draws. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't treat people with respect. You treat everybody with respect. You treat everybody with dignity. Our desire is to teach them that God loves them and Jesus loves them no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. I know that because he loves me no matter who I am and no matter what I've done. And he can reach out to them and he can save their souls. But he can't save their souls if they're pursuing something that isn't real, a false god. Verse 18 and 19 present a contrast. In verse 18, the idea is that whatever a person experiences becomes truth for them, and that's all that matters. Well, let me tell you something. You may experience something, and you may say it's truth for you, but if it's not real, it's not truth. Verse 19 talks about divine revelation instead of human experiences. This comes to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. I don't care what anybody else tells you, there is no way to God except through Jesus. I don't care what you think you experience. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if what you experience doesn't match up with the Word of God, then you've experienced a lie. All attempts to reach God, to have a deeper life, are doomed to failure if they don't start with Jesus. So what we have here is a mystical path. It's a complicated verse here. You know, sometimes we get to complicated verses and we sneeze and go to the next verse. Well, this one we're going to try to deal with. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward or take from you your reward in voluntary humility. That's fake humility. A New Age person would say a mere mortal just can't relate to God. You got to go through a bunch of experiences. And if you go through all these experiences, then you'll get closer and closer, and sooner or later, you'll get on the same spiritual level as God. Then you will be God. God's way of salvation is so simple, a child can understand it. It doesn't have to be complex. In fact, a child can understand they are a sinner and they need a Savior. A child can understand that Jesus is the one that died for them to pay the penalty for their sin. And all they have to do is to say yes to Jesus to invite Him to be their Savior and Lord. And we have had children. Some of you, when you were children, came to Jesus that simply. And we need to offer that same opportunity to others. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the veil of the temple was torn top to bottom, and God just opened up the possibility of coming to God to anyone that would be willing to come through Jesus. There are some who get involved with groups that teach you can't get to God unless you go through another person. Can't pray to God unless you go through another person. You got to have this mediator, a human mediator on the earth in order to get to God. How refreshing it is for some of these people to meet Jesus and then to understand they don't have to go looking up another person because they have Jesus who will never leave them nor forsake them, and He takes us right to the throne of grace. You can pray, I can pray, anyone can pray through Jesus' name, and we get right to God. I don't have to hunt up another person in another room. I can go straight to Jesus, and I can share with Him all my heart's desires, all my heart's needs, and He will listen. False humility of the cults teach a false way to God, but what these people really need is Jesus. Well, this verse goes on. The mystics move on. They don't really accept Jesus as God, but you know what? They like angels. And so this verse talks about worshiping angels. It's really amazing how many people have got onto angels. People like angels. Apparently, Hollywood likes angels. There's movies about angels. There's TV shows about angels. Books upon books upon books upon books. Thousands upon thousands of books have been written about angels. I want you to know, angels are real. God made them. I want to drive this point home. I want you to take it. I want you to bury it in your mind. I want you to write it down somewhere. You will never be an angel. When you die as a Christian, you don't become an angel. It would actually be a demotion for a Christian. We are servants like angels, although they probably do it better. We are never to worship angels. The Bible teaches there are angels. Did you know there are good angels? And did you know there are bad angels? When the devil fell, by the way, the devil is an angel. when the devil fell, other angels came with him. Now, we have a different name for them today. The Bible calls them demons. But they are angels that stepped away from God's purpose. You should never, if an angel shows up at your house today, after you wake up from your faint, you don't worship that angel. This is what the Bible says in Revelation. You know, John got a glimpse of heaven. He had an angel guiding him around, and he says, "When I had heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then the angel said to me, 'See that you don't do it, for I am your fellow servant and your brothers and the prophets of them which keep the sayings of this book.'" Worship God. You know, we're not supposed to worship angels. We're not to put angels in the exalted place that is reserved for Jesus. Now, the bad angels, they're going to seek to lure you away. The Gnostics had a series of contacts a person would have to go through, and some of those contacts were with angels. Now, my friend, if you meet an angel and an angel tries to direct you away from what God teaches in His Word, I got news for you. That angel isn't speaking for God. We're getting close to Halloween, and people get into the spiritualism world a lot. I'm going to tell you, be careful. Listen, if it doesn't promote Jesus Christ, you stay away from it. There is a spiritual world out there that you don't need to be a part of. The devil wants you to be pulled away to anything other than Jesus Christ. You remember when the devil tempted Adam and Eve? What did he tempt them? They could eat of any tree except one, because the day they ate of that one, they would fall. The devil told them, hey, he told you the day you eat of that tree, you're gonna die. You're not gonna die. You're gonna know things. You'll know good and evil like the gods, like God. You see, the cults were involved in the Garden of Eden trying to lure Adam and Eve to think that they could become like God. There's only one God. Let me teach you two philosophical principles that you need to keep in your mind and heart. One, there is only one God. Amen? Let's try that again. There is only one God. Amen? Okay, some of you are still awake. Okay, the second one is just as important. Please get this. You're not Him. You see, when you understand there's only one God, you're not Him. You're not going to try to be Him. We are here to serve Him. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is formed into an angel of light. You know, the angels can appear to be an angel of light. They can make things seem really good. The devil can give spiritual experiences. The devil can give visions. And listen, just be cautious. If it doesn't promote Jesus, if it's not consistent with God's word, it is not for you. Some people think they have an ongoing relationship with God so close that they have a continuing revelation of God's word. Let me tell you, folks, when God closed the book, God had written everything that needed to be written. Who needs a continuing revelation when I have God's own word that promotes God's own Son? Be cautious of these false teachers that will pull you away. Let no man beguile you into voluntary humility or worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly pumped up or puffed up in a fleshly mind. That word intruding was a word used by the Gnostics to speak of secret ceremonies. going through secret ceremonies so you can get to a higher level with God. It leads to pumping up the flesh. People that go through these secret ceremonies, they think, I've got it. You don't got it. I've got it. And so it pumps them up. It pumps up their ego. A false pride leads to a false spiritual sense, and it does not lead to a closer life with God. Beware of churches that teach, your church is okay, but your church shouldn't get into the deep things. Be cautious of that. They're saying Jesus is not enough. Young people, don't let people beguile you. Don't let people trick you. Don't let people try to lure you away from what you know of Jesus. And if you have an experience that you think is a spiritual experience, hey, if that doesn't lead you closer to Jesus, you need to turn away from it. You can have genuine spirit-filled experiences. Will they warm the heart? I believe they will. In fact, we have people that come every Sunday that God just warms their heart by being in God's house, by listening to the music sung, by hearing God's word. The heart just kind of warms. Well, that's consistent with Scripture. You remember when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he walked with the disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. And remember what they said. They said, our hearts burned within us as he talked to us and walked with us. They had a heartwarming experience with God. Well, there is nothing wrong with a heartwarming experience with God that leads you to a closeness with Jesus Christ. Your heart gets warmed. That spiritual experience opens your eyes to more of Jesus, and that is blessed. On the basis of God's word, it matches up, and so you know it's true. So there's a mystical path. Don't go down the mystical path. Don't get trapped in a mystical maze. Instead, there's the master's path. It's not based on Ouija boards, tarot cards, horoscopes, or somebody's babbling that you cannot understand. It's truth based on the Bible. Verse 19, not holding the head. When you get into this false spiritual world, you lose contact with the head. Now, this is talking about a particular head. You know what the head is spiritually? Jesus. Jesus is our head. The body? Well, we're the body. The body is the church. Don't lose contact with your head. A church that runs away without Jesus is running off without its head. No wonder some churches do some mighty dumb things. The Gnostics think that they know it all. Hyper-spiritual people think that they are in a place where they have all the answers, and they can receive truth, and they can reject truth, and they can accept and not accept things that come into their lives. He talks about that we are joined by joints and bands, or ligaments and sinews. We're held together by joints and sinews, ligaments and sinews, having nourishment ministered to us. We get our spiritual life from Jesus, not from some mystical experience. That relationship with Jesus is alive. That relationship with Jesus is one that you can grow in and you can get closer to him in. At the base of your skull, there is a gland called the pituitary gland. Do you know all your body's growth comes from the pituitary gland? In other words, all your growth comes from the head. Spiritually, all our growth comes from our relationship with the head, who is Jesus. We continually grow spiritually as we draw closer and closer to Jesus. By the way, growth is a process. Listen, none of us got this big in a day. It took a while. The Gnostics and other cults are trying to get you to a quick fix. Just a quick spiritual turnaround, and instantly you get to a higher level. just going through this experience, and all of a sudden you'll be far, far closer to God and closer to being a God. Well, listen, you grow on the master's path by getting closer to Jesus. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be able to grow by it. As good nutrition is necessary for us physically, good nutrition is necessary for us spiritually. You need to be studying God's word. You need to be getting into you. You need to be memorizing it. And as you get older, the great thing is you can memorize the same verse every day. You need to be planting it in your heart and mind. And God will use his word to grow you to be more and more like Jesus. By the word of God, we grow in knowledge, knowing more and more of Jesus. And you know, the more I know of Jesus, the less I know I know. You know, it's just, it's amazing. There's so much out there that I don't know. Oh, but I do know Jesus. And I'm going to try to stay close to the head. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all in open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, what that verse simply says is every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, you can grow spiritually. Every day with Jesus, you can become more like him. And by the way, that's the one we're supposed to be like, Jesus. We're not supposed to be like some other person in the room. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And so we keep our focus on him. We keep growing toward him. We are nourished by his word because this is what he has given us to live by. And as we study the word of God, we can become more like him as we apply it day by day. Why would you want to leave Jesus? Why would you want to leave Jesus for a maze of mysticism that takes you away from the Bible and takes you away from the Lord's Son? It takes you away from God. The very things they're trying to trick people into following are the very things that take people away from what God has given us. Don't go there. You know where you go? You go to Jesus. You understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want to go deep? You ask God to forgive your sins, and you invite Jesus to come in and be your Savior and Lord. Hey, as a Christian, I've got Jesus. That's as deep as I need to go. And if I will follow him, he will grow me to be the witness he wants me to be. And he'll do the same with you. Have you ever invited Jesus to be your personal Savior? If you haven't, you need to do that today. In fact, we'll be up front in just a moment. Just come and say, I want Jesus. God knows what that means. We know what that means. We'll pray together, and this very day, Jesus will come into your heart and save your soul. Believer, if you've been playing around in the mystical maze, get out of there. You can damage your spiritual life. You need to get close to Jesus. Stay with Jesus, because he's staying with you. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Father, we ask that you would use your word to meet the needs of each person here. Father, meet us at that point of need to draw us closer to you. Lord, for those that are listening that do not know Jesus, that this would be their day, the day that they would understand this is the only way to God. It is the way given to them that they can accept and know you. Father, lead us to decisions. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?